At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All right, chime time. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's time now for the BetQL Boston Podcast. Let's run the slate with your host, Mike Mutnansky.
Oh, baby. Normally on a Friday or Saturday, we have a video podcast, but we got to put that on hold thanks to prior commitments and the Breeders' Cup World Championships of Racing at Mohegan Sun's FanDuel Sportsbook. So we are live on the Access. Good morning, Chris Schein. How are you?
Good morning, Mutt. I am wonderful. It's Friday morning. I'm loving life.
You really should be loving life. It's going to be 70 degrees all weekend. The slate, it's an okay slate, right? It's not a great slate this weekend.
I like it. It's not amazing.
I don't
love
it.
There's certain spots that I really like, that's for sure.
Oh, it's a very good spot. We have all our NFL picks. We are, I think, 11-1 our last 2 weeks. Is that confirmed?
That is correct. Confirmed.
Our first 6-0 weekend, last weekend. As folks know, if you listen to this podcast, you already know. If you're a first-time listener, appreciate you listening. You can always subscribe, rate, and review on the Odyssey app, on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's a huge, huge help to us, so thank you well in advance for that as we hopefully hand out some free winners on this Friday. We do not root against each other on this show. We make 3 picks on Fridays. Normally do props on Saturday. We're combining those two today. My prop card is limited. I got a couple ideas, one that I love, and then some other ideas, because my focus has been on the Breeders' Cup. If you like horse racing, if you're me betting the Breeders' Cup, you can check out our podcast from Thursday with Dick Girardi going through all 9 races. It takes about 30 minutes on 1.25 speed is the way I listen to all podcasts now, Sean. I know you joked yesterday you listen to everything like 2x speed because you're editing.
Yep.
But I tried to listen to a podcast yesterday, a football betting podcast, at regular speed for a few minutes. Holy moly, it sounds like it's like slowed down human talk now to me.
Wow. It's sometimes brutal to listen to something in like normal speed.
Hey, guys, pick up the pace.
Let's go. Chop, chop.
We got stuff to do here.
Come on. Let's go.
All right, so we root for each other, not against each other. Would we have updated totals for the year, Scheim, on our picks?
Yes. So for me on the season, I am now 13-11, having gone 6-0 over the last
beautiful
2 weeks. So
what a bounce back!
Massive
Holy
bounce
moly.
Back for Scheim. He's up to 13-11. Mutt is doing really well. He's over at 14-8-2.
That's not bad, right? That's profitable.
Yeah.
I may have to let you back in the legit gambler circle after you got pushed out
Ooh,
yesterday,
baby.
6-0. All right. We'll start with the Patriots game, Scheim. I have a Patriots bet. Hear this one. Let's want to start somewhere else. I didn't have any. We got the under yesterday in the World Series. I forget how your hockey bets did, if you want to review those.
Yeah, 2-0 on hockey bets. Over 6 in Bruins-Rangers. Over a half a point for Hampus Lindholm. And if you played the Bruins
Hampus
money line, that cashed as well. And then I believe my teaser, as dumb as it was for you crazy gamblers out there, that hit. So good job by me for that. However, my
second quarter did not go well.
No,
correct?
Second quarter did not go well because the Texans decided to just drive down the field with like 3 minutes left on the clock and score a touchdown. I was in agony over that.
It's pretty weird. Like, the world was freaking. I was, again, way more into the World Series last night, and the Astros going to the bullpen, and that game staying under 7.5 runs. But even at 14-14 at halftime, Shime, like, I never thought for once, hey, the Texans might pull the upset.
No.
The Eagles are too good. They actually had to play in the second half. They shut out the Texans over the final, two-plus quarters game, whatever it was.
I was watching the game, and you could tell, like, Jalen Hurts had a fumble that was just it was unlucky.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. Like, watching the Philly offense against that Houston defense, Houston didn't stand a chance in hell. The only reason Houston was in that game was because Dameon Pierce is awesome. He is so – if you, like, look around at the NFL right now, there is a group of blossoming young running backs, and Dameon Pierce is leading that charge alongside guys like Kenneth Walker. He was awesome in last night's game. He was fun to watch. He was the only reason Houston was in that game, to be honest.
I'd put Ramondre Stevenson in that group. I think he's blossoming in his second year.
Yep.
I like him as a complete back. I will just say, I still am not buying into running back being all that important. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
It's fine. You can be excited by them. You can roster in fantasy football. You can bet their totals. But teams that are led by their running backs are not going to win anything in the NFL in 2020.
I agree. Sorry. And the way, too, to hit on running back is not in the first round. You see it. The Jets hit on Breece Hall in the second round. Dameon Pierce, a third-round pick. I believe Kenneth Walker was a third-round pick. Ramondre Stevenson is a fourth-round pick.
Good point.
That's how you win in the NFL is you get a good young running back. That's you get him late in the draft. You don't have to use that capital on the first round because even if he's not electric, as long as he's not turning the football over, he's good enough.
I will just point out there were some missed opportunities from a prop standpoint. As late as Tuesday, the books didn't respond. We'll start our picks after this. They didn't respond to this whole Brandon Cooks thing, Shime.
No.
And so you could have gotten Chris Moore and Philip Dorsett in like the teens and low 20s. For receiving yardage as late as Tuesday.
Some people did. Yeah, I didn't pull the trigger on that, unfortunately. Bad job by me. But good job for whoever did that.
I think the Davis Mills, as a Tuesday, his passing total was like 213, and by kickoff yesterday, it's like 240. So a 30-yard difference because people realize, holy crap. They had to change things around. It went way down. I'm sorry. It was 235, went down at like 213 because Cooks wasn't in there. But it pays to pay attention to injuries and stuff like that. Because even if you bet it and, oh, Cooks plays, you could have taken the other side and just bet yourself out of the bet if you wanted to. Something I'm going to look forward to and look at more. I'm going to look at more closely next week, sort of injuries and impacting props and when they start and willing to take on some risk knowing that, hey, if the injury doesn't go my way, I can bet myself on the other side and sort of bet out of it. So last night's game is yesterday. Now we turn to the weekend, week 9 in the NFL. Shed a tear, halfway point of the NFL season. We'll start Patriots-Colts, Shime, on the game itself. Last time I looked, it was still 5.5. Patriots as a favorite at home. I'll let you go first. Pats and Colts. Is it one of your three picks? And if not, give me your take on this game.
No, it's not one of my three picks. This is a stay-away game for me. I can't decide which side I like more. If I have to make a bet, I'm going to take the Colts plus 5.5.
Yep.
I don't love it there. I would have liked it more at 6.5. I don't know, man. It's the Patriots play bad at home, but I also think that this is an opportunity for their offense to figure some things out. But then again, Indianapolis' defense has played pretty decently. You don't know about Jonathan Taylor. There's too many questions for me in this game. I just don't know. If I have to pick, I'll take the Colts plus 5.5. I feel more strongly about the over-under. I would go under in this game, 40.5. But I can't pick a side on this.
Yeah, I would be leaning Colts as well. And we'll get to the total. The total is actually one of my picks. Jonathan Taylor is kind of a factor, but like with a total this low and 5.5, like that just, it screams take the dog. Like yep. even last week, the Patriots won convincingly and the Jets were right there at the end of that late touchdown. So, these teams feel, I hate to say it, they kind of feel similar to me. I do get a tankish vibe from the Colts, so maybe I'm not, maybe I'm, the mistake is that they're just going to go and recognize that they're not really trying to win this year, and Jonathan Taylor is not going to play at all, which probably does help the Patriots at some level, but they're still trying to work through their offense. So I would lean Colts, but it is only a pick that I'm going to make because I'm going to be forced to make it on Maloney, Fourier, and Mego today. There's no conviction here, Sean. This is like the third or fourth straight week in a row where it's like,
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the game. I have interest in it because I'm locked into Mac Jones. But from a betting standpoint, this is a shitty game to bet.
Yeah, 100% agree.
All right, let's let you go first here. Chris Scheim, you won 6-0 your last 3 weeks, 3-0 last week. I already know who you took. It's an awesome pick. I'm already bet this pick. I'll let you tell the people.
Yeah, I'm taking the Seattle Seahawks plus +2 at the Arizona Cardinals. I don't really understand this line.
Why is it still the Seahawks as a dog?
Seattle should be favored by at least a point.
At least.
And they've already beaten the Cardinals once this year. They're the better team. I don't understand what anyone has seen from the Arizona Cardinals that would make them want to put them as a 2-point favorite against, you know, more than half of the league. Like, I just, that doesn't make any sense to me. The Seattle team is good. I think Pete Carroll should be in the discussion for Coach of the Year if Seattle continues on this path. And I believe at least this week Seattle will continue on this path. I'm getting the Seattle Seahawks, my guy Geno Smith, as a plus +2 dog in Arizona, a division game. Yeah, give me the Seahawks. I want the Seahawks all day.
And we told people early in the week, bet this now. 2.5 is going to be gone by Sunday. Maybe it is, but it's Friday morning and it's sitting at 2.
It went down to 1.5 because we made note of it earlier in the week, but then bounced back up to 2 for some reason. And you look at the money in this game, 79% of the bets, 89% of the money is on the Seahawks. So it's, I feel weird that I'm with so many people, but there's weird. There's nobody on the Cardinals, and I don't understand why this is still Cardinals by 2.
That is a little scary that they're taking that sort of money. It's not really moved.
Yeah,
that's a little scary. But as far as, like, if you forget the betting angle, the football side says Seattle's the better team. You don't want Cliff Kingsbury at home. You want him on the road. Like, DK Metcalf is playing through the injury. Looked fine last week. Byron Murphy locks him up. You still have Tyler Lockett. You still have Kenneth Walker. I'm with you. Would have been my first pick, Scheim. You took it first. So I love the pick. I bet the pick. It's part of a couple, terrible idea, three-team teasers, but it's in. I got Seattle plus +2 as well. Awesome pick. I'm going to flip-flop two of my picks, and I'll explain why in a second. But I'm going to start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'm only slow playing this because I always like to check. I don't pull it up. I do these the night before. And so I don't know what the line is now. It's still 3.
Yep.
So I want the Bucs minus -3 against the Rams. Let's start very simply, Scheim.
Okay.
You were on this early. The Rams might not be great. And so I was able to back that up with actual facts. I know many people in this sports betting industry, sports entertainment, wagertainment, as Costos calls it, they hate those tricky facts. Like, they can't really back things up. And it's one of the annoying parts of what we do. We do it casually. People do it for a real living. The numbers say the Bucs are a much better team. Overall DVOA, Bucs 8th, Rams 24th. Offense, Bucs 18th, Rams 23rd. Defense, Bucs 5th, Rams 13th. So by the metric that you and I both think is one of the best overall all-encompassing metrics for a football team, correct? Football Outsiders DVOA.
Yeah, that's correct.
Across the board, Tampa is better.
Yes.
When you look at EPA per play, the Rams' offense, according to the Action Network, is DFL, dead flipping last in the league. And that is with a healthy Cooper Kupp. Kupp is gimpy this week, Scheim. He's going to play through it. I have no doubt. He's a warrior. But you can't tell me after what happened last week, he's 100%. So you go up against a good Bucs defense. You have Kupp who's all banged up. A Bucs that's getting healthy, as I refresh the injury report from yesterday. Cameron Brate trending towards playing for the first time in a month. Carlton Davis, limited full practice Thursday after being limited early on in the season. Mike Evans, limited. Akeem Hicks has been out, back-to-back full practices. Julio Jones, full practice. Mason's been hurt. He's limited. So all these guys are coming back healthy, and the Bucs are already a better team. Brady's better than Stafford. You have post-divorce Brady narrative. Okay, I can't back this up with stats, but now that he's week removed, he was stressed out last week. Remember, Thursday night football, they sucked. Friday got divorced. Full 10 days off. He's refreshed. His team is healthy. And a couple other stats here, longer-term stats. Matt Stafford, 1-4 against the spread when facing a defense that gives up 20 or few points as the Rams quarterback. Of course, the Bucs do give up just shy of 20 points. So that counts. Tom Brady, in his career with extra rest, like this game, 54-34-4, bounce back, post-divorce, Brady spot, lay the 3, my 3-star play this weekend, Bucs minus -3 against the Rams.
I don't think you said this either. The revenge narrative. Tom Brady got bounced by this team last year in the postseason, 30-27. Like, Tom Brady is all over this. I'm with you. I am 100% with you. This was my favorite pick that you had this week. I love the Bucs laying the three.
Can I give you one more narrative?
Yep.
100,000 yards narrative. Tom Brady is just, he has 99,836 yards passing. He's going to eclipse the 100,000 yards mark. We talk about records in sports never to be broken. This is going to be one of them.
And you think he wants to do that on a loss?
I agree. I'm adding it in. You think he wants to lose to the in a revenge narrative game?
No chance.
100K passing yards? Lock it up, Bucks minus three.
I'm with
Send
you.
It. What's your second pick?
My second pick, I'm going to go to another game that I liked early in the week. I had mentioned this to you and on the podcast here, that the Dolphins are going to Chicago to take on the Bears. I originally liked the Dolphins, but I decided I actually liked the over in this game more.
Oh, okay.
Because even just yesterday, you talked to me. We were discussing Justin Fields and the way he has come on as of late in the NFL, and Kyrie Thompson had mentioned it. He's a big Chicago guy. Justin Fields looks like over the last 2 or 3 weeks, has looked like he was the legit best quarterback in that 2021 draft class.
Yeah.
And so if Chicago continues to do that, I think their offense is actually really dangerous against the Miami defense. That's still spotty. Like, Bradley Chubb's going to be in this game, but he's new to the defense. We saw last week just how well Detroit was able to move the ball on Miami. And then Miami's offense, we know, is super, super explosive. So I am green light lit. Let's go over 45.5 Miami Dolphins at Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I like that. I'd actually be leaning Bears, by the way, in that
really
game. Yeah, I would take the points. I think Fields on a little bit of a roll. Dolphins coming off that great comeback last week. I don't love it, but I'm glad you got off the Dolphins side.
Okay.
And got on the total. And by the way, I do like the over there. That
feels like a low number.
Against the Dolphins, I think everything against the Dolphins right now, like they feel like the Lions to me. Like the games are going to trend
fast
over
tracks.
Because the Dolphins are very good, but their defense is not very good.
Nope.
My second pick was getting my first pick, but the Jonathan Taylor thing scares me a little bit. I want the under, Scheim, in this Patriots game that we both talked about. 39.5? Is that what you're seeing?
No, it's actually 40.5, so you get a better number.
Awesome. Give me 40.5 on the under. A couple of notes. The pace of this game, so they went to Ellinger last week. Obviously, Sam Ellinger, whatever. He's sixth best guy in the draft last year, according to David Carr. They had just a 43% pass rate in neutral situations. That was second lowest of all teams in Week 8. They were a super fast team with Matt Ryan. They don't trust this guy. They're playing all of a sudden really, really slow. Played zero snaps, Scheim, of no huddle in that game last week. Colts had just 115 plays, not very much. Patriots at a 56% neutral pass rate. That's 20th in the league, so they don't like to throw it that much. In neutral scripts, they'll throw it when they're behind, but they want to run the football. We know that with Stevenson and Damian Harris. Colts games this year, how about this? 35.7 plays per game. 35.7 points per game, second lowest in the NFL. Big mismatch up front for the Patriots defensive line. I'm wary that I could get beaten in the back door by like a defensive touchdown late because Ellinger's just not that good. Or Mac Jones, quite frankly, get pick six late in this game. I totally understand that. But the contributing factor for me was backup quarterback. They're not throwing as much. Jonathan Taylor looks unlikely to play. Like, if I knew he was out this morning, Scheim, I would have made this my top pick. But there's still at least that idea he might try to play through, and he's good enough that I'm going to dock it a little on my picks here. Last eight Colts games, 7-1 to the under, 4-0 this year, unders on the road, under 40.5 Patriots Colts.
Yeah, I'm with you here. This would be
in a
boring
game.
This is such a dumb game. It's such a boring game. All Patriots
I call it boring,
games
dumb, same thing. Yeah.
Boring and dumb. And so I'm with you on this pick. I like the under in this game as well. So good job by you.
Pick number three, Chris Schott.
Yeah, so my third pick here is actually a team that I trashed earlier in the week. You said you liked them a lot. I think you bet them to win the NFC, or you were thinking about it.
You did not. After you trashed the Vikings, you're picking the Vikings?
Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings. Laying
you're
3 points at Washington.
You're unbelievable.
This is more of a anti-Washington take than it is a pro-Minnesota take, to
gotcha.
Be fair.
Yep.
Minnesota is just way, way, way more talented than this Washington team. As much as I like to rag on Minnesota not being a legit 6-1, they are 6-1 to their credit. And Kirk Cousins has played well this year in spots that aren't in prime time. So give me the Vikings laying 3 at the Commanders. I just think this is a mismatch. This number should be more than 3. That half a point matters to me. This should be like 3.5. That's why it's minus 3 at minus 120, by the way. This should be like 3.5 or 4, even 4.5. So I like taking the three here. Give me Minnesota by three.
Don't have a great feel in this game, but I'll be rooting for Minnesota to get the best seed they possibly can at, 7-8-1 we had them to win the NFC, which is a long shot, but I think they're playing well right now. I like the move to get Hockenson, and we'll see how they bounce back. My third pick, I know Sean, does not like, because I texted him last night, and his response was, yeah, good luck with that. give me the Packers laying 3.5 at Detroit. I wouldn't call this, this is why it's my third pick in here, but I can't get past this idea that Green Bay is still sort of in this thing, and Detroit, with the sell-off of Hockenson and how bad their defense has been, they're just sort of trending the wrong way to a point where I'm not going to be surprised if Dan Campbell gets fired this year. I'm really not. I'm at that point with this team. Detroit's defense is terrible. Green Bay's offense is not as bad as I thought. Ninth in DVOA. They get Hockenson. Detroit gets rid of Hockenson, and they have nobody left at tight end. DeAndre Swift did practice yesterday. He's trending towards playing. That will be good for Detroit. But he also said yesterday he's not going to be 100% the rest of the year. So it's Swift and Williams and the third running back, whose name I forget. They like to mix in.
Craig Reynolds.
They're Detroit. The guy that I like, Craig Reynolds, thank you. I think Aaron Jones is set up for a monster game.
I agree with
against
you.
This Detroit defense. 32nd overall, Shime. 32nd against the pass. 30th against the run. Their offensive line is absolutely tremendous up front. They have a huge advantage against that Detroit front. I think they'll be able to neutralize Hutchinson, who's had a good year. Good rookie year. He's got a bunch of sacks. I think he's 10-1 for rookie of the year defensively. You'll see the kind of run he can make. Lazard and Watson are back at practice this week, so you could have more weapons back for Aaron Rodgers in that offense. And then there's the Jared Goff piece of this. Since 2016, according to the Action Network, 120 quarterbacks have suited up to play in the NFL. Out of the 120, Goff is 117th in money line profitability as an underdog. Straight up as a dog, Jared Goff is 10-29-1. Yes, they cover some of these games, but straight up, they lose and lose and lose. He's a loser. He was a winner because he got hooked up with the Rams for a couple of years. We saw what Belichick did to him. I suspect that Joe Barry and that Green Bay defense will have something ready and cooked up for Detroit. It's 3.5 points. I don't love it, but I love Aaron Jones this week. Give me the Packers laying 3.5 at the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, so this to me is a I need to sit back and watch kind of game, because I think personally Joe Barry stinks. That Green Bay defense has been a massive, massive letdown.
I need to bounce back. They've been bad. They added piece in the offseason, and they've not been as good. I totally agree.
No, and then they didn't do anything at the deadline to help themselves out at all. I don't trust the Green Bay offense. I only trust Aaron Jones, to be completely honest with you. But like you said, Aaron Jones is in a prime spot to have a massive, massive day. So if Green Bay's offense wants to get on track, this is the game to do that. This is the perfect opportunity. But I need to see them do that, because I haven't seen them do it all year, in my opinion. I understand what the numbers say, but with my eyes, Green Bay has not looked good on offense at all. So I don't trust them. So I would stay away from this, and if you put gun to my head and made me take a pick, I would take the Lions plus 3.5.
All right, so you would take the plus. I will take the minus. So my three in order: Bucks minus 3 against the Rams, Colts and Patriots under 40.5, Packers minus 3.5 at the Lions, 14-8-2 on the year. Chris Scheim, go ahead.
I am taking Seattle plus 2 at Arizona, the over 45.5 Miami at Chicago, and Minnesota laying 3 at the Washington Commanders. I am 13-11 on the season.
All right, so my props are limited, so I'm going to go first with the just following up on the last pick.
Yeah, we'll rip through these. Go for it.
Aaron Jones, total yardage is 99.5 yards. Shime, I want the over at minus 115.
Yep, I had his rushing total at 64.5, so I'm with
you. I looked at that, and then you can play them both.
Yep.
You can play them both. They're both safe. They'd be my 1 and 1A. It's 99.5 total yards, 64.5 rushing yards. I like them both. He's in a big spot this weekend. That's my first and foremost. I have two favorites. That's my first favorite. Why don't you go ahead, Chris Schein?
In that game as well, I have over 72.5 receiving yards for Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's been a couple weeks since I've bet on my guy, the Sun God.
Amon-Ra.
But Ian Harditz on Twitter, I think he works for PFF, has this weird joke where every time a move is made in the NFL, he says good news for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Well, when TJ Hockenson was traded, it's actually good news for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It really is.
And so he is going to get pummeled with targets. It's literally just him and Josh Reynolds as receivers. I guess Khalif Raymond, if you count him. But
I think throw to him way too much.
Yeah, but I think this is all Amon-Ra this week. Again, I don't think Green Bay's defense is all that good. Give me the over on 72.5 for Amon-Ra.
I want you to go again because I'm still looking up the updated model.
Okay, I'll go to that Miami-Chicago game that I love so much. I love the over there. I want Fields over 49.5 rushing yards. Number's too low. That needs to be in the 50s. It needs to be close to 60. We've already seen that a couple times this year. We cashed easy on 41.5 when he was faced the Patriots. I'm pretty sure he would have cashed on this last week. I forget. I didn't really check the number. But I love Fields over 49.5 rushing yards. And then I'm going to go back to the well on a bet that's hit for me multiple times this year. That's Jaylen Waddle over 67.5 receiving yards. Look, Miami throws to two guys and two guys only. It's Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle. You can play whichever one you want. I prefer playing Jaylen Waddle because his number is always lower, and yet he still has over 100 yards like every freaking game. He gets pummeled with targets, especially close to the red zone. Give me Jaylen Waddle over 67.5 receiving yards.
I keep waiting to see them post this, Shime. I guess they post these later Friday, early Saturday, but we talked about Tom Brady going for 100,000 yards. The one thing the Rams and Bucks both do, they both play good run defense. I don't think either quarterback, I don't think either team's going to run. I think both teams going to have to chuck it. I am going to be lining up to see when they posted Tom Brady pass attempts. Because they're not. You yep. can't run with Fournette. The other guy they tried to mix in, Rashard White's not any good. I think Brady is going to be chucking the ball against this Rams team, even if it's those old Charlie Weiss extension of the running game throws to Leonard Fournette and Scotty Miller, sort of out of the backfield in the slot. So my second favorite, by 1 and 1A, were the two Jones bets for sure, and then over pass attempts on Tom Brady. I cannot wait till they post this number. Unless they post it like massively high in the upper 30s, I'll be hammering the over on Brady pass attempts.
So I got two left. One of them is Mac Jones over a half an interception. I don't know why this is minus 120.
You love doing this.
I'll take this all time.
You get to root for an interception for Mac. It's your favorite thing in the world.
He's thrown an interception in 9 straight games, and his number is over a half an interception at minus 120. Like, this should be minus 150, not minus 120. This is as easy as it gets for me. I'm gonna take the Mac over on an interception there. And then the last one might shock you. I'm going to take over 194 passing yards for P.J. Phillip Walker.
Wow.
Against the Cincinnati Bengals.
XFL star.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had an awesome week against Atlanta. I know Atlanta's defense sucks, but he had an awesome week there. He had a good week the week before against Tampa Bay. And now he gets the Bengals, who just got lit up by Jacoby freaking Brissett. So if Brissett can do it, I think P.J. Walker can do it. I said earlier this week, P.J. Walker's shown that he can at least compete right now. I know it's early, but I'm going to ride that hot hand while I can. So give me the over 194.5 for Phillip Walker.
And obviously, it's still Friday. It's a little early to be sending out the big prop action, but there's stuff that will be available all weekend. If I add anything to the card, I will post it up on the BetQL Boston Twitter account, but I'm comfortable right now with Aaron Jones and with Tom Brady pass attempts once they do post those.
Yep.
I want to point out, because I had our buddy Scotty text and say, can you give a couple long shots to the Breeders' Cup? People that don't know, I'm pretty locked in the Breeders' Cup tomorrow. I'll be down at Mohegan Sun. I'll be chatting in the BetQL app, which you can download for free. Hit the chat function there in the right-hand corner. And I'll be chatting and making picks during the course of the day. I picked out four races, Shime. And this will take about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Give people an idea. Because he sort of asked, like, as a casual fan, how do you bet? When I was first getting into it, I would like to bet longer shots, win, place, and show. And so you have a little bit of action on each race. You're not spending a lot of money. If one of the long shots hits the board, you make your money back, make a few bucks, and you can grind on it to the next race. So with that in mind, race number 5, we had a major scratch this morning. Laurel River is out of this race, so the price may come down on my long shot. But the number 2, Simplification, is a really good 3-year-old, was in the Kentucky Derby, ran 4th in the Derby, tailed off, but is now getting back to a mile distance. He's 1-for-1 at a mile. He's 15-to-1 on the morning line, so race number 5 on Saturday, my long shot to play around with is the number 2, Simplification. The next race, the 6th race, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. The number 5 horse Tuesday for Ryan Moore, the jockey. Aiden O'Brien is the trainer. This horse has great success over courses like he'll face at Keeneland. He is 8-to-1 and basically being ignored by a lot of the people who are picking horses. So if I get 8-to-1 on Tuesday, the number 5 horse in race number 6, that's what I want to do on Saturday. Race number 8 is the Breeders' Cup Mile, one of the deepest races you're going to see really all day. The Euros tend to dominate races like this and do an excellent job. I'm going to go against the Europeans. Matt Bernier tip me off to this horse. I want to remind people here, it is his push, and I'm sort of tailing him on this. The number 11 horse, Annapolis, at 10-to-1 for Todd Pletcher and Irad Ortiz. 3-year-old rounding into awesome form. 2-for-3 lifetime at the distance. Won a race at Keeneland just a little while ago. Won the Turf Mile and crushed in that race. With all the European horses in here, he's bound to go off at a big price. So I want the number 11 horse, Annapolis, in the Breeders' Cup. Mile is my price. Then in the big race, 540, the Monster Horse, 5-0 Flight Line, one of the best horses of my lifetime. Dick Girardi's one of the fastest horses, the fastest horse of the 20th century. He should win the Classic relatively easily. The way I'll play the race individually is throwing out the number two horse, Life is Good, who's the third choice on the board. I think he's going to get caught up in pace pressure and fade to the end. I want to use Epicenter and Hot Rod Charlie as my two horses underneath in exactas, weighted exactas there. I'd play it heavier with Hot Rod Charlie. I'd play it a little bit smaller with Epicenter. And if you want a one more little exacta there, Tabe of the number one, another three-year-old. So I'm going to play exactas with Flight Line, Hot Rod Charlie big, Epicenter medium, and Tabia small, and use all three underneath in trifectas, hoping to make a few bucks on the Breeders' Cup Classic, which should be the showcase for Flight Line there, 530 or so, 540 there at Keeneland. Any other bets for the weekend, Sean? Because we're not going to have another show until Monday. I think I just want to tell the people, as I get set to head to Mohegan Sun, you get set to hopefully play some golf at Chelmsford Country Club. It's kind of weekend. You should get outside, Sean. Get some exercise.
Yeah, girlfriend and I are going to do some brewery hopping tomorrow, so that'll be fun. Enjoy
what,
the day.
What part of New England are we doing that in?
The northern half. So
Maine?
From the No.
New Hampshire?
No. New England. I thought you meant Massachusetts. No. Northern Massachusetts, you know. We're going to maybe even bump up to New Hampshire, maybe hop up to Nashua or something.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to find some places to take the dog and just kind of bop around.
Have you been to the one that's right near our studio? That one on the corner there?
No.
Is this really good?
Is that
Notch?
Oh, no. So I've been to the Notch in Salem, the original location in Salem. I have been to Notch. I have not been to the beer garden they have right around the corner, no.
Yeah, I keep hearing people how great it is.
The Notch is great.
Notch Brewery and Taproom in Brighton. They call it the Speedway. I asked you, not knowing you'd know. They call it at the Charles River Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
And the food's supposed to be great. I might make a trip over there with you at some point.
Oh, I would love that. That's
a lot of German beers over there.
I'm into German beers all the time.
Well, that's a fun little weekend for you and the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is she upset about the Rangers?
No, because the Bruins won. So, you know, it's, you know, there's some, she does love the Bruins. So, you know, it's some give and take there. So she dealt with it. It was okay. She's more pissed that she lost her bets because Brad Marchand didn't have over 3.5 shots. We had a nice shots on goal parlay. What happened?
Oh, no.
Brad Marchand's the only one that doesn't hit. Again,
oh.
She has had 4 shots on goal parlays and one leg doesn't hit every time.
That's how parlays work. You gotta tell her. That's how they work, honey. Get used to it.
But that's the way she gets the boost from DraftKings because they do like an NHL parlay boost. So she'll put 3 together. You have to have a minimum 3 legs. She'll put 3 together and she hits 2 of 3 every single time. And
who's this account in New Hampshire firing parlay bets? The DK, you're gonna reach out, make her a VIP. Love it.
Oh, yeah. So, there's no line out yet that I see, but when it does come out, bet on the Bruins against who are they. I don't even remember who they're playing. Bet on the Bruins tomorrow. That's all I got.
Well, there you go. Bets. The Prince of Pucks says bet. You say how much? That's literally what you
just
do.
Just bet on the Boston Bruins. They are hot as can be. Bet on the Boston Bruins. Bet on the Vegas Golden Knights until it runs out.
I'll be doing that at the Mohegan Sun FanDuel Sportsbook all day Saturday. Come by and say hello. Subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the Odyssey app. No podcast on Saturday or Sunday. We're going to be back on Monday to recap the entire weekend, preview Monday Night Football. Anything else to people, Chris Sean?
Nope, that's it, Mutt. Get out of here. Go enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Got some family stuff to take care of today. I'll be on Merlone, Foray, and Mego tonight, and then a very marathon half-hour show, 6 to 6:30, into BC and Duke football. It's almost too much work for me on a Friday. Great job, Chris. We will talk this weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Sounds good, Mutt. See ya.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream.
Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over a million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.